Katzenberg made his case to Wells, who got Eisner to reconsider on several conditions. The show had to be done by Disney alone, so it retained full creative control, and Eisner wanted to use people already associated with Disney, steeped in the Disney culture. As Eisner liked to point out, the theme parks already produced more live shows than all of Broadway. And there was another condition. Eisner himself had to be involved. "I'll only do this if we do this together," he insisted to Katzenberg. Katzenberg didn't understand why he couldn't just go ahead on his own. The Broadway show was budgeted at just $34 million, which included the cost of renovating the theater. No more than the cost of a typical feature film. But as the production evolved, Eisner went to absurd lengths, in Katzenberg's view. Rehearsals for the show were being held in Houston, and Katzenberg flew down almost every week. But Eisner forbade Katzenberg to deliver his production notes directly to the cast, insisting he review them first. Katzenberg largely ignored the edict. As the show developed, Katzenberg made sure to include Ashman's partner in the planning. Lauch met the director, Robert Jess Roth, and he was especially pleased that Katzenberg restored Human Again, the Ashman-Mencken waltz that had been cut from the film version. He knew Ashman would have been thrilled. On one of his flights to Houston, Katzenberg was reading a script when he suddenly stopped and turned to Thomas Schumacher, his deputy in animation, who had been enlisted to watch a preview. "Why doesn't Roy like me?" Katzenberg asked. Schumacher wondered what to say. He knew that neither Roy nor most of the animators liked Katzenberg. He decided to speak candidly. "You dominate," he said. "You showboat. You take all the credit." Later, Katzenberg asked Schumacher to write down a list of Roy's problems with him. Schumacher's list included rudeness, arrogance, ignoring the artist's concerns, being dismissive of Roy's suggestions, showing no interest in Fantasia. When Katzenberg read it, he nodded. "I get that," he said. Just a year after the spectacular success of Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin opened to even greater commercial success. At David Geffen's suggestion, Katzenberg had dispatched Schneider to recruit Tim Rice, lyricist for Jesus Christ Superstar, to pick up where Ashman had left off. He and Mencken had completed the score, and Robin Williams, grateful for the career boost he'd gotten from Dead Poets, portrayed the genie for a scale wage of less than $500 a day in a deal brokered by Michael Ovitz. Critics loved Williams as the genie. "Williams and animation were born for one another," Roger Ebert. "A dizzying, elastic miracle," Janet Maslin. The film grossed an astounding $502 million worldwide, the highest-grossing film of the year. Aladdin again won Academy Awards for Best Song and Best Score, as well as five Grammys, including Song of the Year for Ashman and Mencken's A Whole New World. Thanks in part to animation, the Walt Disney Company reported record profit of $1.4 billion in 1992, a 31% increase from the prior year. Filmed Entertainment had revenues of $3.1 billion and an operating income of more than $500 million, a 60% rise. The lustrous financial results obscured the fact that for the first time since taking the helm 8 years earlier, Eisner's and Wells's judgment had faltered. All of the